You are listening to the weekly sermon from Elevation Community Church in Blanchester, Ohio. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit myelevationcc.org.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
We doing good?
Yep.
Yes.
Great, great. Let's go to God in prayer before we even get started this morning with the message. Father God, we just, Father, may we listen to you right now. Father, may we not be in a hurry, but may we be able to take a deep breath, allow our minds and hearts to continue focusing on you and to desire more of you. Father God, may we know you, desire you, be excited about you, even in the midst of the challenges that we may have. Father God, I pray as we're continuing in this time of worship that what is talked about, shared in this few moments with this message that I ask, God, is what you want to be said and that you want us to hear. And even more so, that you want us to apply and have an impact on us to be people that you want us to be. Thank you, Father, for allowing us and making it possible for us to meet together in this way, to share in this time with you and with each other. And God, may we desire, may we delight in these moments and desire more of them, these moments and times with you and with each other. Father, as this message is shared, I ask that it does what it's meant to do within your will. And I must be honored, God, to be able to be used by you at this time as you see fit to communicate, to share in such a way that it will make an impact, will have a difference for your kingdom and for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for these people who have gathered here together. And I ask, God, that you be attentive to each and every one's needs, their joys, their concerns, their struggles, and that you will indeed provide. You're awesome, God. You are so awesome. May we have joy. May we have just amazing joy today and every day because of who you are and who we are with you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. As you know, we have been talking about a journey from the cross. We went to the cross. Now we're going kind of the other direction. And so we're going to be giving a few messages coming down the pike here, this being the first of those, about this idea of, okay, we had the cross, we had the resurrection, and we celebrated it. And by the way, 2 weeks ago, I hope you all had a good Easter holiday. But that's not it. It's not that we put the eggs and the bunnies and celebrate through the worship and things of the resurrection and then put it all aside and forget it until next year. many people do that. And sometimes, yes, those who are believers do that. They, hey, this great holiday, we have the meal, we have the families together, and we come together and dress up nice, and we do all those things, which is great and celebratory. But what next? Well, that's what I want to talk about today. What next? And actually, I've shared this with you before. It's under this title, Jesus Continued. You've seen this before in episodes or movies that have two parts to them. At the end, it'll come to a climax, and then it'll say, to be continued. And then we wait for that next whatever's going to happen in that story. And it's kind of a little teaser for us to want to go and watch it. And okay, it stops usually at a climax, and we want to see how this is going to end. And so it attracts us to coming back for when that show is on again. Well, Jesus did essentially what he was here to do on the cross, and then he resurrected, which we celebrate and we're thankful for and we glory in. But now what's next? And what's next is huge. What is Jesus continued is huge. Because we often do look at the resurrection and highlight it, which we ought to, and then we go on living our lives as if, yeah, that happened, but now we go on and doing what every other thing that we're involved in our lives. The point is, Jesus still keeps going. He's meant to keep going within our lives. He talked about that. We're going to look at some things, and we're going to see that there's a whole bunch more. And 2,000 plus years later, we're part of that. We're part of that continuation of what Jesus had in mind way back. It wasn't just die, raise from the dead, and then we all go and with our hands in our pocket and say, well, that's good, that's great, hallelujah. Now I'm going to go and live my life and do the things that I do. And yeah, I'll think about you every now and then, Jesus. And I'll pray to you, God. And I'll try to be a good person. But now I'm just going to go on and live my life until I die and look forward to going to heaven. No! No! That's not it. There's a plan, and we're living it out today in this Jesus Continued. It's not just only about those few days throughout the calendar that we take time to celebrate Jesus in a more broader sense, but it's an everyday thing, and that's what Jesus had intended. The question for us today is, are we getting it? Do we remember that? Or is it something that, well, we're just basking in this, he's made it possible for us to go to heaven, which is great. But there's much, 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 much more. And so that's what we want to talk about. In John chapter 16, verses 5 through 7, but now I go away to him. Now, these are words that Jesus is saying very close. John's very good about this. He talks about more detail of those last few days and weeks, more so than the other gospel accounts. And he says, but now I go away to him and who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. And none of you ask, where are you going? But because I said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. I want you to note this. They're realizing more and more that Jesus is going to die. They spent 3 years plus with him, hanging out with him very closely, very intimately. They've developed a really close relationship. These guys that are following Jesus are on board with him. But now he's going to leave them. And he's going to leave them in a very harsh way, so much so that it was hard for them to understand it and accept it. You remember Peter? Peter said, nuh-uh, ain't going to happen on my watch. And remember the words that Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Could you imagine that? You want to stand in for Jesus, and then he says that to you. Whoa, what's wrong, Jesus? It wasn't Jesus was angry. Jesus was just realizing that there was a temptation in his trying to divert him from his mission of going to the cross and dying and making it possible for us to be in relationship with God. And so he says, this is sorrowful for you. You're filled with sorrow. I get that. Anytime you lose someone, there's sorrow. Those of you here have probably, most of you, if not all of you, have gone through it, or you will go through it. What I do on a regular basis in my job right now, I deal with it a lot. I'm a bereavement coordinator for a hospice organization. There is sorrow when the loved ones pass, naturally so and understandably so. And when Jesus was getting ready to leave, by his own choice, through this horrific way, there was sorrow. And Jesus wanted to comfort them. We're not going to focus on it, but we're familiar with the words in John where he talks about this idea of, I go, don't worry, I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And many of people look at those words in hope. And many of those words are used often in funerals and to encourage people. And Jesus understood that sorrow and leaving. But then verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. Note that word. It's to your advantage that I go away. Most people, when they lose a loved one, they say, oh, that's not an advantage. That's a sad, horrific, heart-wrenching moment. And it may have been for these folks as well, but Jesus says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, and here's that word, the first hint as to why, the Helper will not come to you. Who's the Helper? We'll find out. You probably already know. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Think about this. That's why there is a continuation that's so significant. Jesus has died, he's gone, he's ascended, which we'll get into a little bit later, because it's making the way for this Helper that he's telling them about, that we today are able to be blessed by and take advantage of. Now, that was going ahead a little bit, but backing up in John chapter 14 and verses 12 and following. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. I want you to note that word greater. This is kind of a hard pill to swallow, but I think there is some real truth to it. Greater is he that is in us than he who is beside us. And what that's referring to is, just giving you a heads up, which you probably already know by now, is there is a spirit within us that is greater than the Jesus beside us. Now, don't misunderstand me. Now, Jesus is the ultimate. He's the Son of God. But let's keep in mind, in this difficult challenge of understanding the Trinity, there is God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and they're all the same working together. And they have their roles to play. And in this situation, greater are these works. Not greater in quality, but maybe greater in quantity. As far as these works that Jesus is looking for these folks who he's speaking to, his disciples, are about to be a part of. He said, greater works he will do because I go to my Father. And skipping on to verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. There's that word again, that he may abide with you forever. And here's where we get who the helper is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. That's huge, knowing, relationship type of word. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Man, there's a whole lot of amazing promise there. Yes. I'm dying. I'm going to go to this cross, resurrect, but it's not the end. The story's not finished. It's going to continue. And it's going to continue through the Spirit coming upon His followers, and we're a part of that. He's not going to leave them alone. Though there might not be this fleshly individual in their lives, there is this greater power of the Spirit that will be there for them to carry on their lives, and even more so, as we'll see in a minute, the mission. Carrying on in John 14, he says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." It's not finished, guys. There is this Holy Spirit that's going to come, and he's going to lead, you, be within you, and empower you, and all these things. And this was a promise to these guys, and it's a promise to us today. Do we understand that? Do we understand the significance of that? I know the Spirit is a huge subject in our faith system today, and a lot of people want to focus on certain aspects of the Spirit, the speaking in the tongues or the gifts of the Spirit and all these kinds of things, the miraculous. There's that stuff to talk about, study about, and learn about, but at the heart of it all, it is about Him being in us. And in us to carry on, as we'll see, the mission. That's why God has not only just said, here's Jesus, dies on the cross. He wants us, He's invited us to be a part of the process. And He's starting with His followers here. He's starting with these 12 guys. They're going to go out and continue this. And the Spirit is going to come and empower them to fulfill or begin fulfilling that mission. Now going back to chapter 16, verse 12, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." That's what Jesus is saying to his followers. "However, when he," who's he? The Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. I believe what the Spirit is hearing from the Father. And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's where we get this inspiration. You know, this verse that says all scripture is inspired, of course, it's primarily referring to the Old Testament, because the New Testament at that time hadn't been complete. But through scripture, God is inspired those words. They're not just words that just came out of the thin air, but they were words that were inspired by God, God the Spirit. Verse 15, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." So what he's saying to these guys, this is all again before him going to the cross. He's preparing them more deeply to say, "This, I'm going, but there's another force, another power. It's going to be God, the Spirit, that's going to come and be involved in your lives and help you to continue on what you are to continue on after the resurrection." That's simple. Now I want to quickly look at this idea of the Spirit. You realize it's a challenge to kind of get our minds wrapped around the Trinity. Many people have tried, many people do. There's things written about all of this and on. And there's a good and fine to study. But it's still a challenge to understand. But this idea of the Spirit, God the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, it's been a part of it all from even the beginning. If you go back to Genesis, many of you probably know this, when God created the world, He said, "Let us," plural, "let us do this creation thing." And then you hear about the Spirit going over the waters and all a part of this creation process. The word Spirit in Hebrew is beruach. That's the Hebrew word. And it has this idea of wind or breath. And sometimes, because of the connection of the water, there's also a water connection to this. And without going too much in depth right now, we see some things that helps us understand this in even the life of Jesus and through the celebration of some of the feasts and the pouring out of water to help people receive the Spirit of sorts. But there is this force, this power of God. This God, it's not for, He is God, the Spirit. And Jesus is preparing His followers again that this is coming. He is coming to help you. And so we go and skip now to John 20 and verses 21 through 22. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me." Now, this is after that resurrection. This is now getting into Jesus died, cross, and the disciples are, the apostles are like, what do we do? They're scrambling around. Did he die? Did he really go? I don't know. That's what I heard. And they're very emotionally charged up. And so they come together wondering what to do. And Jesus shows up and he said to them, "Peace be with you." That's a good thing to say. We want peace. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I want you to note these words, sending. Sometimes when we read scripture, we kind of really quickly go past certain words. The sending right there is ground zero for the theology of what the mission is all about. For these people and for us today. Sending. Think about it. The Father has sent me, now I'm sending you guys. And today, in the year 2024, Jesus is still sending to be involved in a huge mission. And so he goes on and says, and with that, he breathed on them. I've talked about this before when we talked about prayer. Still amazing to me to be able to see this and witness and try to understand this. Again, we talk about the breath. The Greek is pneuma, and he breathed on them as if now receive the Spirit. This part of it, this beginning part, receive the Holy Spirit. We see, which we'll get to in a minute, Acts, where the Spirit was really poured out on them. But he said, if you forgive one another's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. It's really interesting, and I'm still kind of torn about why these words are right after him breathing on them and saying, receive the Spirit, other than knowing that they were going to be going out in a world that was going to be hard to forgive. They were going to be amongst people that were their enemies, if you will. There were going to be others and struggles and issues going on, but the Spirit coming to them and in them, one of the big things they were going to need to deal with is forgiveness and a willingness to forgive others in this process. Because if you don't have the forgiveness, you don't likely have the desire to want to be close to people and to know people and to share one of the most important messages there ever is to share. But here we see this unfolding when Jesus came back and he proved himself as resurrected from the dead. You know the story, likely he showed them the hands, doubting Thomas, all these things were going on. But the heart of this is Jesus further setting them up, helping them to be prepared for what's next after he has gone. And so we move into Acts, and this is where a lot of this journey from the cross unfolds. This is the journey from and fulfilling that mission begins. Because we go to the book of Acts, and we see in just the beginning part a little bit more carryover of what Jesus was doing with his followers. And then we read through the whole book, we see the book of Acts. Now, some say it's called the book of Acts because it's the Acts of the Apostles. I think it's more accurate to say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit doing his thing through the people at that time, going from place to place, sharing the message, doing what was meant to be done with this reality that Jesus died and rose from the dead. You see, I don't know if you realize this, there were insurmountable odds against these guys, these 12 guys who by many people's standards were a bunch of ragamuffin, just kind of guys that were, you know, they weren't educated, they were farmers, fishermen, whatever. They didn't have a lot of, you know, whatever that most people would think. And by themselves, that's all that they would be. But when the Spirit comes in, great power and great movement happens. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how much you know right now. But if the Spirit of God is upon you, you can do great things. And that's what these individuals were about to do. And it was an amazing thing. And so we see in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, him being Jesus, but to wait for the promise of the Father. There again, what's the promise of the Father? Which he said, you have heard from me. From John, for John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You guys are familiar with this section? We're familiar with these, probably, most of us. If not, here you go. This is the Jesus continued. This is the challenge for us, not just to say, yes, it's great that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, but it is for us today to take the same mission and carry it out in our world. How's that going? Just a thought. We find it easy in our world today to be a believer in Jesus, to accept him, to have our sins taken away, to prepare us for life after this life. And for many, Christianity and church is all about just what we're doing right here this morning. We come, we hear a message, we don't like the message, we can maybe complain about it, don't want to come back, we have other issues going on, we have struggles with one another, we lose our real identity in these challenges that we have with one another, we only put a little bit of our time in this busy, busy world that's always had busy, busy, busyness going with it, we only focus a little bit of that time on him. We pray every now and then. We read our Bibles every now and then. And we go to what we call go-to church every now and then or once a week. And that's it. Is that the mission? Is that it? No. And this is the challenge even for us today. We are called. We are challenged by Scripture way back here to take the power of the Spirit that God gives us, that Jesus has made possible for us to have in relationship with God, to go out and outside and share the message with others. You've heard this many times. So many times you probably are tired of hearing it. But it doesn't take away from the reality that that's what it is. Jesus continued. What's next? The journey from the cross is us living out Jesus and hugely sharing him. Of all the things that we want to look at ourselves now, we're to, as we've said many times, we're at a crossroads, a point of transition, so to speak, due to change in leadership and other things. And we're thinking, what do we want to become? What do we want to do as a church? What do we want to be? And everyone has their idea. Some of them are good, some are okay, whatever. But is it still at the heart of it? The idea that we're to take Jesus and share him with our community here in Blanchester and beyond. Amen. Are we thinking that, are we looking at what we are doing, is it just serving us only, though there's nothing wrong with doing different things for ministry and so forth, but we can get so focused on ministry for us and what God is going to do for us, rather than know God wants us to do for others. And part of the big thing about others is going to them with the gospel. It's not just the job of some professional preacher or teacher. It's the job of all of us. All of us have that responsibility. All of us have that as the mission. That's what he gave to these guys, and that's what he gives us today. But how well is that? Are we going to go home today after this is all over, eat our meal, take a nap, watch our favorite whatever show or sporting event and say, that's it? Wait till next Sunday. Or maybe go do a Bible study and all that. And I'm not saying those things are bad. Those are very good. It's good that we grow together and have Bible study and those types of things. But is it expanding into us wanting to have conversations with people and talk about others? And there's ways we can do it, because I'll tell you what, our world is gradually making it more difficult and more difficult and more difficult. And there's ways you can do it where you don't have to be nasty, where you don't have to be intrusive. And there's ways to just simply love other people and get involved in their lives. Amen. And not come up with excuses that says, hey, well, it's out of my comfort zone. Jesus never said it was going to be comfortable following him. He didn't say, guys, going out there is going to be an easy road for you. These people were killed for the cause of Jesus. How many of us really would put our lives on the line if necessary? We shake our heads. I'll tell you what, it would be hard for me, no doubt. But that's why we're challenged to do this. If this church, this faith family, or any faith family that meets anywhere in the world is going to continue to grow consistently and have a longevity, it has to have this mission in mind. Even the bigger churches that have all the show and have all the performance and all those things going well for it, they last for a comparatively short period of time. They peter out, so to speak. And when people have issues or they don't like this person or that personality or the way they're doing that, and they just quickly move on to find that other place that's going to better suit them. Now, I'm not knocking. There are times that we are maybe called to go from one to another in peace and in harmony and just really literally feel called, but many people leave a fellowship of folks just simply because they're hurt and upset and they don't like. And I get that. I understand it. And there, again, are times where that might be necessary, but how it's done is often done out of hatred and nastiness. And that's not what's part of the mission. See, this is what I'm hearing more and more about, but we're still struggling with it. And it's something is for churches to be more about the mission than just only the once a week gathering. So much is poured into these type of things. So much is poured into how well we do this show or whatever. And I'm not knocking it. I think it's great we do this. We want to have order. We want to do things well. But don't stop here. There is a continuation of the mission. Jesus gave it to us. And with honor and privilege and hopefully love and passion, we want to be a part of it. And so Jesus continued, and the after the cross is being on mission. And so Jesus is setting the groundwork here before he ascends. And then we see it happening in Acts chapter 2. We're very familiar with these words. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came this sound from heaven. Can you imagine being a part of this? This would be awesome. Oh my goodness. And a rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them divided tongues as fire, and there's some discussion about what all that was, and so on. We won't get there, but it's there, it's said, it's talked about, and they were all filled filled, like water filling us, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they began to speak in tongues, and the Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And by the way, the speaking of tongues was probably languages that were known at that time, but not known originally by these guys, and the people who were there were hearing them in that language. Many scholars say that's what the tongues was all about, but that's a whole other discussion. The point, the bigger point is, through this miraculous, powerful event, this is the beginning of the church. This is the continuation of Jesus. And it's not just an afterthought. This is something that was talked about way back in Joel. Because if you look at Acts chapter 2, you'll see Joel referred to. This is just a part of it. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my manservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And that's what he was looking forward to Acts. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth and so on. That's awesome. That's powerful. That's good stuff. I think sometimes our familiarity with the Scripture ends up causing us to not think of it in that way. And my challenge for us, myself included, because I'm not there, I'm not 100% there, but I want to be, and I hope we desire to be, and our desire for God will encourage us to be desiring His mission and continuing, if you will, so to speak, the legacy of Jesus. But not only living him out, which is huge, but also being about the mission of living him out and letting ourselves shine for his glory and so that others may know about him as well. I know it's easy to go down the route. I've gone it in my thoughts. Well, everyone's so familiar about Christianity and people are tired of Christianity in our world today for whatever reason. But it doesn't take away from the challenge that's been before us. And as hard and as difficult as it is, it's not nearly what it was like back then. Not yet. It could go back to that. I don't know. But I do know that the Scripture says we're to continue and keep continuing. And so it's no longer Jesus continued, it is Jesus continues. And the question is he going to continue through us? And when I say us, I want us each to look at ourselves. I want to be honest with you. Are you interested in this? Don't say anything out loud. Are you really that interested? Are you really that motivated? Or do you really want to, yeah, that sounds good, Kevin, but this is not for me. I'll do my Christian things, come, put a donation maybe in, and maybe I'll pray here and there, maybe go to a Bible study, but beyond that, I don't mess with my world. And again, I'm not here to guilt. I don't want that to be the reason. I just want us to be challenged and see and learn the significance of what we have been invited into being a part of by God and do it with joy and conviction. Not with drudgery, not with fear, but passion. I hope that. And so this is one of those things right after the resurrection. Now what do we do? And I hope this group will continue to see what can we do now to carry it on as we are challenged through Scripture.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon. If you'd like to go deeper with another resource from our church, please check out our weekly Impact Bible Study podcast as well. Both of our podcasts are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud.